Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We wanted to look at a development in the South African aviation sector. FlySAF's decision to lock out some of its cabin crew amid a wage dispute, even as the airline says it doesn't expect flight disruptions, makes me a little bit nervous, especially this time of the year. The union, the South African Cabin Crew Association, is in conflict with the airline over pay rises as well as working conditions. With us to unpack the implications is Desmond Latham. He's an aviation analyst. He has previously spoken about the impact of industrial action on with regard to South African airlines. Thank you for being with us, Desmond. Hoping you are well.
Morning, Howard, and all the listeners. I'm well. I hope everyone's well out there.
Yeah, we just, you know, South Africans get nervous around November time. Don't start with our holiday plans, hey? Like, we don't want anything messing this up at this point, so we do get nervous. What is the latest with FlySAF Air right now?
Well, the South African Cabin Crew Association is involved, and that's the union that represents cabin crew. And they were locked out from last night, and from what I hear, there have been freelance crew members drafted in, and they can operate legally on a reduced load of crew, depending on the circumstance. So I don't think initially there will be a major impact, but as we go along with the story, there will clearly be some kind of slowdown, or a few of the flights will be affected. But at the moment, it doesn't look like it's impacted the flights from this morning,
right,
from what I can tell.
Okay. And so in terms of a lockout in the context of an airline, what does that actually mean?
Well, it just means that the people who are on strike will be refused entry if they will attempt to go to work. But I think we've got to look at what happened previously in August, July, August, where the pilots went on strike. Mm-hmm. FlySAF Air. There's a kind of general agreement amongst the crew and the management that they don't want to damage the model. So it's just an action taken, and the airline continues to fly. It's not as we've seen in some international airlines, Lufthansa, for example, where all the pilots went on strike, and it had a major impact on their flights for two or three weeks. We don't have the same level of acrimony between the two. However, it is building up because, inflation is rising, and the average cabin crew member earns around 15,000 to 20,000 a month. It's not a huge amount of money. The starter, the younger ones you see there, can be earning about 8,000 a month, which is an intern salary.
Wow,
and
absolutely.
You know, they're rushing back and forth, and those cabin crew members see rushing back and forth. They're not paid well.
And it's a very, very difficult. It's a very, really not an easy job at all.
No, I mean the sympathies must lie with the crew, because FlySAF makes around R500 million profit a year. So I know it's about a return on investment logic, but the crew and the cabin crew and the flight deck crew are what makes that airline function, and that's it. The fuel is a high cost item, but if they weren't around, nothing would happen, obviously. So there's a balance here to be paid between return on investment and keeping the crew happy. And I'm afraid to say that the amounts that they earn is not good enough, to be quite blunt about
this. Well, that's...
I'm not making airlines very happy who are listening to this, and owners of airlines,
sure,
if there are any. But the bottom line here is that inflation is 6%. And what has happened since COVID is that there's been a delicate balance paid off here between the airlines, who've come back from near-death experience, literally, and have said to crew of both the pilots and the cabin crew, said, look, during the lockdown, we operated on reduced incomes, which they did. Pilots took slashed and crew took slashed incomes to survive, as we all did over the period. But it's been a bit of a lag when it comes to return to normal. As the demand has lifted, I'm afraid to say that the income for these crew members is not
at the same rate. And anybody who is looking to book or hasn't already booked their December holiday, if they're going away and if they are flying, is going to be horrified at the prices. So there's certainly, if you look at that increase from where we were maybe during COVID or round about that period to now, the cost of tickets has skyrocketed. One would think at least some of that, something gets passed back to the crew.
Yes, I think you've got to look at the whole economy of flight, of aviation. I mean, a domestic ticket in South Africa costs around just under 3 weeks worth of average income. An international flight costs about 6.5 weeks, roughly, right? Whereas the EU, it costs 3 days income for a local flight.
Wow.
Compared to 3 weeks.
Wow.
And less than a week's income on international travel, on average. So you've got to ask yourself, you know, the economies of developing and a country like ours versus the EU. I just want to put that out there to say that's the amount that we pay. And it's still a very expensive business. However, there are other things that factor in here, and we've got to say this, how the excise duties and levies that we pay to government, basically, are some of the highest in the world, and we have some of the highest ticket prices. So a lot of the aviation companies have been saying to government, why don't you just slash some of these taxes, please, so that we can plow some of the savings back into the tickets so that we pay less. We're paying about 190 to 200 rand per flight tax. Per domestic flight.
It's actually unbelievable.
Yeah. So if you look at the ticket price, if you take a percentage of that away, and then, you know, over and above, I'm not even adding VAT into this that the airline has to pay, that we're paying them, you can see that there's something that is slightly out of sync here when it comes to expectations. We've always regarded aviation as a crucial part of our lives in the middle class in South Africa and around the world now. But there is something that more could be done on the general economy of aviation, let alone what these cabin crew members are being paid. It's an interesting tale. But the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, that's just what I'm thinking is I didn't realize that it's almost an ecosystem of concerns here, because the pressure point might well be coming from the cabin crew, because they're the most vulnerable and in some ways the least paid given the work that they're doing. But actually it's a signal or a symbol of a larger problem within the whole picture, in the whole context.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the per passenger, every flight, the airlines are earning roughly 17 rand from per passenger.
Wow.
So it's all volume.
Yes.
Whereas the global average is around 116, 120
wow.
rand per
wow.
passenger. So our local airlines are earning 10% per passenger of what international airlines. I'm talking domestic flights here.
Incredible.
So there's many things that are factoring into these owners and their understanding of their business models. And you can understand from their point of view that paying cabin crew more than a starting rate around 8,000 for an intern, going up to, you know, to the senior cabin crew, get much more than that. I'm not aware exactly how much, but it goes up to the tens of thousands, you know, 20, 30,000 more for domestic flights I'm talking
right,
about.
Right.
And then pilots get paid around 1.8 to 2.5 million a year, roughly,
right.
For a captain. An entry-level pilot, again, is much, much less than that. So these are costs factoring into their overall operations. And then you look at the flight of jet fuel, I mean, the price of jet fuel, which also
yeah,
is affected by Rand's weakness. So I can understand from their point of view that they, you know, the returns on the need to push, it's a capitalist enterprise, they need to make a profit, and then profits need to grow. But again, I do feel that they're kind of killing the goose that lays the golden egg, literally, by saying to the cabin crew, well, I'm not going to up your salary by a couple of grand because I want to earn a percentage more of my half a billion rand a year. Thank you very much. I don't think there's a lot of sympathy for someone who operates at that level. And there's three main owners of FlySafe here, and they've spent a lot of time in Ireland. And this is where the problem that FlySafe has had with ownership. No more than 25% of a local airline can be owned by someone who's not a South African. And
right.
there's some question about the owner and the two main owners, the three, and exactly what's going on in terms of shares and who are they. You know, they have dual Irish South African citizenship and so on. So there's questions about, you know, are they taking our interest into account if they spend a lot of the year not in South Africa.
Right.
They're the owners. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm going to get into trouble from the owners who would say that, you know, this is exactly the court case we're on here. So I don't want to be.
Right. Yeah, I know that is currently going through the system.
It's under discussion. But but these are facts that are in the public eye and are being debated right now. So all of this is factoring into the cabin crew and all of what I'm saying to you. So they do feel wronged.
And whether there's substance to the fact that, you know, or if mitigating or not, that they don't spend all their time here in South Africa or they're not South African, whatever that might be, it certainly would still lend to part of the narrative whether it actually does impact or not. So SAFE would probably be smart to be aware that is going to be what some of that discussion is about. We do need to leave it there. But final thoughts before I let you go. For listeners who do fly regularly, do you think that's going to be, this could become a concern over the coming weeks?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be resolved.
Because that is good news.
The pilot strike was resolved, and I think this would be too. It's optimistic, perhaps, but I do feel that there is good faith still on both sides.
That is where we leave it. That was Desmond Latham. He's an aviation expert talking about the SAFE strike.